Hello, what you're about to watch or listen to is a recording of a live service that we did over Zoom on Sunday the 17th of May. During the service, there was music and various clips played in at the right time. Unfortunately, due to rights issues, we've got the rights to upload our own recordings of songs and things, but we can't use other people's in our, you know, in our videos. So if you're watching the video, it will come up as a separate video in a playlist like it has done on previous weeks. If you're listening to just the podcast, I'm afraid we can't upload any of the audio to that. So it'll just have a break and then we'll carry on talking. If you want to watch the videos, then I would suggest that you follow the video link underneath the podcast link.
Okay. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our online communion service. I hope you can all hear me. I'm just going to change my view because I don't really want to see myself. I want to see everybody else. That's better. So it's good to be able to see you all this morning and to meet together in this way in live time. But equally, if you're tuning in after the event and you're watching the recorded version of this service, then welcome to you too, because our God is eternal. He is outside of time and he is able to meet us, to meet you where you are at whatever time you join. And he is able to meet us in our homes this morning. The same God whose presence we feel when we meet together in the church building is here now with you in your homes, thanks to the power of his Holy Spirit working in us and through us. What an amazing God, right? So this is a communion service. Just a couple of technical things to say. If you haven't got your bread and wine ready, then now might be a good time to go and get that, because we will be sharing communion together a little bit later on. We're also going to be worshipping God together in song. Please do sing along. I promise you, you're all muted. No one will hear you apart from the people who are next to you and the Lord. So it's all okay and you won't be recorded. So do sing at full volume. And I'll try and remember to say this at the end of the service, but we'll also have our usual post-service Zoom coffee as well on a separate link. So you're all welcome to that too. So I'm going to start by reading a few bits, or maybe I'll read the whole psalm. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you are the God who forgives our many sins, who heals our diseases, the God who crowns us with love and compassion, who satisfies our desires with good things. Thank you for your great love for us, for your mercy, for your grace, and for your faithfulness. And in response to you, Lord God, we come and offer all of our praise and all of our worship to you. You are good, and we praise you. Amen. So we're going to sing a couple of songs now. Take it away, Andy. So we've been soaking up the Sermon on the Mount over the past 2 months. And I think it's 2 months anyway. Feels like it's longer, but I'm sure it's just 2 months. And Chris reminded us a few weeks ago that the Sermon on the Mount is a revelation of the coming kingdom, that it's an invitation to live differently now, to march to the sound of a different drum, to catch the melody of a different song. And I wonder this morning what melody you've been listening to this past week. So in the struggles and in the busyness and the stress and in the weariness and in the sadness, did you catch the melody of a different song? Did you catch the melody of the song of the Father? Zephaniah 3 verse 17 says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." I love this. The Lord our God is with you. Emmanuel, God with us. And he is depicted here as a mighty warrior. And he battled for you at the cross to save and to rescue you. And he continues to battle for you and to fight for you, to rescue you every day. Because let's face it, we need rescuing every day, don't we? And he takes great delight in you. And in his love, he will no longer rebuke you. We deserve rebuke. But through Jesus, he no longer rebukes us. Because Jesus, as we've been hearing, fulfilled, completed all of the requirements of the law in our place. He rejoices over you with singing. Isn't that amazing? And I believe that there's someone, I think probably more than one person, who needs to hear this today. This time yesterday, I had no intention of sharing a reflection at all. And then this came to me. So I believe that someone needs to hear this today, that the Lord your God, and he is not ashamed to be called your God, takes great delight in you. And he rejoices over you with singing. And of course, in response to his great love, we want to live lives that please him. We want to bear fruit and we want to grow in knowledge of God, as our year text says. But that springs from knowing God's love for us, from being rooted and grounded in his great love, from knowing that we are dearly loved and cherished children. And sometimes I think we get things the wrong way around. So I want to share a song with you, and I just want to encourage you to let the words minister to you and allow God to sing over you. Catch the melody of a different song. And I also, when I was preparing this, I'd forgotten completely that today was Father's Day, but God didn't forget. And on this day, you know, Father God wants to sing over you and he wants to bless you. Thank you, Andy. Okay, so the reading today is taken from Romans 5, verses 1 to 11. If I can just find my glasses. Oh, there they are. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So I'm going to hand over to Chris now for the devotion.
Thanks, Susan. Thanks for those that are leading us through this morning's service. It's good to be back. This morning, I just wanted to share something of the amazing love of God. And I know we sing about it, we talk about it to each other a lot. But in all I'm trying to say this morning, I just want to make you wonder and be awestruck again at the amount of love that God has for you. Just the psalm that we opened with, the way that we've sung this morning has reawakened that love and awareness of God's love towards me, and I hope it has for you too. I wanted to look at this passage. It talks about the past, the present, and the future. All three are covered here in this one passage. We have been justified through faith, past tense, it's done, dealt with. We have peace with God and have gained access into this grace in which we now stand, the present tense, right where we are today, whatever's going on, we stand in that knowledge of God's grace. And we boast, we have a hope of glory in the future, God's glory in the future. That boasting is generally a negative word in the English language, isn't it, when we talk about boasting? But here it's speaking out faith. That's what it means. It's speaking out faith. So when you really believe that God is going to give you co-heirship with Christ, seating you alongside Jesus Christ in the heavenly realms, then you start to grasp why you might be filled with wonder and awe and speak out in faith that this is what God's going to do, that we are his children. He has this future plan for us. So that understanding, this understanding of those past, present, and future truths transforms how Paul then looks at his sufferings, his present sufferings. He holds on to these truths and then sees that suffering develops perseverance, and perseverance character, which in turn leads back to hope. It's like a virtuous circle, isn't it? Once you know that enduring love of God that has dealt with the past, the present, and the future, it transforms the circumstances that we live in today. That assurance of sins forgiven, that we have peace with God, that we live under his unmerited love, and that we can look forward to God glorifying himself in and through every circumstance that we live in. Without those assurances of faith, we fear that we might be punished, that the sufferings might be what we deserve, that we're being punished for being evil, or that we feel that God's abandoned us, that in the circumstances that we face, we think, you know, God's turned away from us, or that we feel that we might fail under the trial. So going through a difficult circumstance, we begin to fear that we will fall away from the faith or that we will let God down in those circumstances. But we don't need to fear those things, because in verse 5, we read that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. What a great verse, that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. all the things that the Holy Spirit brings, gifts and fruit. But hold on to that one. He pours his love into your heart. What an amazing gift the Spirit is. So that love we discover isn't primarily a warm feeling. It's not the hairs on the back of your neck standing up. But it's a revelation of what God has done for us in Christ, what he is doing for us by the Holy Spirit, and what he's got planned for us for the future. He's died for us when we were ungodly, when we were sinners, while we were his enemies, past tense. He's dealt with those things. And then this is Paul's sort of point in this little bit of the letter that he's writing here. If the Father went to such lengths to reconcile us to himself when we were his enemies, what will his attitude to us be when we've now been saved from God's wrath through the death of Jesus Christ? Paul puts it like this. If we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? So that how much more is what you need to grab onto. If you recognize the depths of the love of God in being in Christ, dying for us, his heart going out to us to reconcile us to himself, if he's prepared to do that when we were his enemies, how much more will we go on being saved by the life of Jesus, his resurrection life that is in us? So the sacrificial death of Jesus has dealt with the past, our present, and our future sin. He's brought us into right relationship with the Father. That resurrection life of Jesus, which the Spirit now pours into our hearts, continues bringing that healing and wholeness into our lives. We go on being saved, healed, restored by his life in us, which is really good news because I know God's not finished with me yet. So there's a load more that God is doing in me today and it'll need to do tomorrow. But the life of Jesus goes on. His Spirit continues his work in us. So there are now no circumstances which can threaten that love. Paul has already declared it here that it's dealt with the past, the present and the future. But in a few chapters' time, he's going to declare, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Wow. God has done it, and it is established and firm no matter what the circumstances you face right now. No matter how you feel about yourself, no matter how you might feel about God, God is certain about how he feels about you. He has established it and made it firm. All we have to do is to access that gift by faith. Believe that God loves us. Believe that he is for us, not against us. We need to believe and choose to keep on believing, no matter what our current feelings or experiences are, that God loves us. This has been demonstrated fully on the cross and is poured into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. We didn't deserve Jesus to die in our place. We don't deserve to be filled with the Holy Spirit and will never be worthy of the glory of God. If you think you're worthy of the glory of God, then you're on the wrong place this morning, because you know, really we're not ever going to be worthy of that, except through Jesus Christ and by his Spirit, through his gift, through his grace. So we come to share communion this morning, and I want to call it this morning a table of outrageous grace. At this table, we're reminded of the one who turned the other cheek, who gave up not only the shirt from his back, but the skin from his back, and forgave the unforgivable debt. So as we prepare for communion, I want us to fix our eyes on the King of Love, King Jesus. And he's done everything to remove the walls between us and the Father, to reconcile us, to bring atonement, oneness between ourselves and the Father. The only walls that remain are the ones that we put up. So this song invites us to let the walls come down. So we're going to sing this together. The King of Love is my delight. Go for it. We'll mute you. please mute me. Let's sing together. Great song. I just wanted to bring a couple of words from scripture to pick up on that. They speak about God's love. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he has loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This might be the first time that you've ever taken part in a communion service. You may not actually want to eat bread and drink wine with us this morning. You may just be watching. But know this, God loves you. And God has demonstrated his love in Christ Jesus. And if you want to respond to that love now or later, you want to come back and watch this again and partake of communion for the first time, know that he accepts you, that he welcomes you with open arms. This is a table of outrageous grace. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever you fear about yourself, whatever you fear about God, know that he has declared his love for you. And this meal is an offer for you to come into relationship with him, or for those of us that know the Lord, to renew that relationship. I've been saying regularly over the last few weeks, this isn't a virtual communion, it's a real communion. There's no mediator between us and God, but Jesus. The point of communion is to remember Jesus, and in the way that he commanded us to. The Spirit isn't going to be limited by our social distance, but can be fully present with us, each in our own homes or wherever you are this morning. Although we are scattered in our homes, we are united in the body of Christ. So come and share in the feast of the Lord, not because you must, but because you may, not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come, not because of any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body.
The Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper. For I receive from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so we're going to prepare for communion now with another song.
So we're going to give the opportunity to give some thanksgiving and some intercessory prayer later on in the service. But we're going to give thanks at this part of the service, and then later on we'll give opportunity to pray for one another, share prayer requests, pray, bring people before the Lord. So I'm going to give a brief introductory thanksgiving, and then I'm going to open up the mics for all of you. So there's a warning for you, the mics will be open. You might need to unmute yourself as well. But if you'd like to give thanks for something that God's been doing during this time, or give thanks for the bread and wine as we approach communion, this is the time to do that. So a thanksgiving. Lord God, we praise and thank you for showing your love in Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life and ministry, announcing the good news of your kingdom and demonstrating its power by lifting up the downtrodden, healing the sick, and loving the loveless. We thank you for his sacrificial death upon the cross, for the redemption of the world, and for raising him to life again as a foretaste of the glory we shall all share. We give you thanks for this bread and wine, symbols of our world and signs of your transforming love. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that we may be renewed into the likeness of Jesus Christ and formed into his body. We pray this in his name and for his sake. Amen. And now opportunity for us all to bring our thanksgiving. Let's give time to do that.
Father, we thank you that we can worship here together with you. And Father, through the use of technology, that nothing can stand in the way of us gathering together.
Father, we thank you that there are no barriers to your love for us. Lord, nobody is too bad, nobody is too good to accept and to be loved by you. And Lord, thank you too that there are no barriers to your Holy Spirit. Lord, we long for the day when we can meet together in person as a fellowship. But Lord, equally, we thank you that you still talk to us as a fellowship. You still lead us as a fellowship. You still join us together as a fellowship through these different ways of doing it. And you know, Lord, thank you that you're still speaking to us. You're speaking to us even more, I guess, in some respects. And yeah, Lord, I just thank you for that. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we just want to thank you that in your word you invite us to come to you. And today, once more, Lord, we just come. And Lord, we receive your presence and we rest in your presence. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So, Father, we thank you that we can join together virtually, but also using these symbols of bread and wine. We give thanks for symbols of the body and blood of Christ. And we pray that as we enter into this time, you will indeed fill these symbols by the presence of your Holy Spirit, that our lives might be renewed and given new focus as we remember what Jesus has done. We ask this, Lord, that you may be glorified in and through what we do here, and in and through our lives. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So we're going to lead you through this communion time. So you'll need your bread and your wine to hand. And we will put up on the screen, or Andy at least will put up on the screen, part of the liturgy that we're going to be saying together. So. So far, I've got an entirely blank screen, so that's better. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Andy. So we're going to break the bread with the words of Jesus, and if you have your bread to hand, you've got it ready. So we break the bread with Jesus' words. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in
memory of me.
So if you break your bread. The body of Jesus was broken for me. hold your cup. In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This is the new covenant revealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in memory of me." The blood of Jesus was shed for me.
The blood of Jesus was shed for me.
Will you drink together? And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. We're going to sing a great old hymn together now. Here is love, vast as the ocean, as you say down here. So just to invite you all, we'll unmute the microphones again in a moment, but to invite you all just to pray now for those that you know are in need at the moment. There'll be those that are known only to you, and you may want to pray quietly. And if we have times of quiet, that's fine. But if you want to lead us in prayer for the congregation, for the church, for the country at this time, then let's do that before the table of the Lord. Let's pray together. So lead us in prayer.
You're a God of love and compassion. And Lord, we want to pray for children at this time. Who are still at home, who haven't got proper closure, we just ask that you will be with them and give them your peace. We want to pray for our world at this time, Lord, all the social unrest that's going on at the moment. We just ask that you will bring more of your love and more of your unity and something of your peace to this world. Amen.
Father, as more businesses begin to open and things in this country begin to slowly resume to how they were, Father, we ask for your protection. Lord, we ask for your protection amongst us. Father, keep us safe and well as you have done thus far. And Father, we ask for your protection amongst all those that are going back to work. Father, we remember those who are still suffering the consequences of this virus, Father, and for those that are ill. Grant them healing, Lord, and strength. And strength for their families, Lord.
Lord, we pray for the Home Secretary, Father, and for people having to police, Lord, these demonstrations, Lord, in our country and in America, Lord. Lord, we ask for wisdom, for strategy from you, Lord. Father, we pray that there will be the minimum of conflicts, Lord, and confrontations. Father, I just pray, Lord, where there really are problems, Lord, pockets perhaps in our country of racism and certainly in part of America, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will soften the hearts of those, Lord, who are prejudiced and who look down on other people just because of a different colour or language, Lord. We know that's not right. Father, convict them of that, Lord. Help them to turn away from treating others badly, Lord Jesus. Have mercy, Lord. Open people's eyes, Lord, so that this evil really can become something of the past, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, your word says, have regard for your covenant, because haunts of violence fill the dark places of the land. And Lord, we've seen in the news just today of those stabbings in Reading and Lord, in other news, that haunts of violence do fill the dark places of our land. And so we just want to say, Lord, let there be light. Let your light shine in those dark places and halt the schemes of the enemy that are made manifest through kings of men, Lord, to bring killings and destruction and violence. And we just want to stand, Lord, and ask that you would raise your hand against that you would stop it, that you would stay it. That there would be no more violence, Lord. That you would so change the atmosphere in the land, Lord, and bring revival to those dark places. And we pray this, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Lord, we continue to remember those that are in care homes and not yet able to see loved ones in the way that they would want to. Lord, we pray that you would continue to surround them with your love. We pray for those that are in hospital at the moment, and we pray for clarity and for you to rule over every decision that's made and for right decisions to be made. We pray, Lord, that you would comfort and support families that are struggling at the moment. We pray for husbands and wives. We pray for those that are in really difficult situations. We pray, Lord, that you would give them wisdom. And, Lord, that you would give a way out for those that feel trapped. Lord, we pray that you would give them peace and places to make good choices. Lord, we know that you love us and that you love even those that are your enemies, but you bring us to repentance. And Lord, we pray for that conviction to go out into our land as well, that revival would begin with repentance. And that, Lord, yeah, start with us, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We pray, come Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. change our minds, change our hearts,
mm-hmm.
that we might truly be your people.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I think I'll hand over to Susan, who's going to introduce our next song.
So we're gonna close with a final song. We're gonna sing together "Amazing Grace." Thank you, Andy. So I just want to say thank you to everyone that has been involved in putting this all together, especially the technical people. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Ricky. This is like, I didn't even know this the first time it happened. There's a huge technical thing going on in the background. It's not magic. I thought it was. It isn't. It's just amazing. So thank you very much, everyone who's been involved in today. And of course, thank you, Chris, for your part in this as well. And so this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. And so as I said at the beginning, we're going to now have our usual, well, at 12 o'clock, we're going to have our usual post-service Zoom chat. And so we'll be closing this meeting and opening up for that one. Thank you, everyone, for coming along. It's just been great to have you all here.